I know that I've mentioned it several times already this morning, but do you realize that God is everywhere? Everywhere. Everywhere you turn. You go to the highest of mountains, you go to the lowest of valleys, God is there. God is everywhere. God is not defined to a particular location, but is in fact in all places at all times. But if we're honest with ourselves, and if we're honest with each other, it doesn't always feel like that, does it? Sometimes it seems like we're all alone. David, the king of Israel, the one who is described as a man after God's own heart, even he felt like that at times. He felt alone. He cries out in the book of Psalms, in Psalm 42, he cries out, as the deer pants for water, it longs for water. God, I long for you in the same way. So my soul longs for you, thirsts for you. And here's a man that is crying out in desperation. He's not simply seeking to be poetic. He's crying out in desperation because God does not seem near. And when he writes Psalm 42, he is struggling in life. There is an inner turmoil that is going on within him. There's an anguish that he's experiencing in life where he says that my tears have been my food at night. My tears have been food throughout the day. It's just all day long. I'm in pain. And it's not something he's able to keep to himself as his anguish, his anxiety comes spilling out. People around him start to take notice. His troubled heart is something that can't be hidden, and people eventually come to David and they ask him a question. They say, David, where is your God? David, you're in pain, you're in anguish. Where's your God? There are times in our lives where we either by our decisions that we make or the circumstances that happen to us that are out of our control, that send us down path, where life gets really, really hard. And in those moments, we can find ourselves asking the question, God, where are you? God, are you here? Are you paying attention to what I'm going through right now? And what I want to do this morning is I want to reassure you that God is in fact here. That God is in fact there where you are, no matter where you go, no matter what happens, God is there always. We may not consistently remember it or acknowledge it. We may not consistently sense it or feel it. But that does not change the fact that God is ever present every single moment in every single situation that we face. And because the reality is that we are so prone to forget or to feel like we're all alone, I think it's helpful. I think it's crucial to pause and to think this through and to come to a better understanding of our God. So what we're going to do today is we're going to look at the attribute of God called the omnipresence of God. And my desire in talking about the omnipresence of God would be that you would leave here this morning with your eyes firmly fixed on God who is always with you. I want you to see. I want you to see with your eyes wide open. I want you to see clearly that in the midst of this entire series of knowing God, the great benefit and the great joy of knowing our God. Not from a distance, but up close and personal. I want you to know who God truly is. And in order to help you in that, we are focusing this morning on this extraordinary attribute that God himself, God only has, his omnipresence. So as we head in this direction this morning of our study, I want to give you some things to write down because I want I don't want to assume that when I say a word like omnipresence, that all of a sudden you know exactly what I'm talking about. I don't want to leave anybody behind. And so I'm going to give you some things to think through. So what does it mean when we say the word omnipresence? First, omni is a Latin word. It's a Latin prefix that means all. So this week, when we talk about the omnipresence of God, we are talking that God is all present. Next week, we'll talk about the omniscience of God, that God is all knowing. Next week, the week after that, we'll talk about the omnipotence of God, that's attributes of God, that God is all. God is all, in this particular week, is all present. And I'd like to give you a definition that demonstrates this attribute of God in a fuller context. This is a definition that I came across, and I think it's helpful for my own mind, and I think it's helpful for your mind as well to think this through. I hope it is. I hope it's helpful. And this is what omnipresence is. Omnipresence is talking about God, how God does not have size or spatial dimensions, and is present at every point of space with his whole being. God is everywhere. God is omnipresent. And this is a short sentence, but it's a short sentence that is packed rather full. And so what I want to do this morning is I want to break this sentence apart. I want to show you some things from God's word. I'm going to give you three observations to think this through. The first observation I want to show you, and I'm just going to run through this quickly. Our next slide also has a definition at the top. If you're still writing that down, you can. We're going to talk this morning about God's presence does not have spatial dimensions. The next thing that we'll work our way through is that God is everywhere. And then the last part, this is not necessarily part of the definition, but it has some practical implications that's worthy to think through, that God's presence impacts how we live. Or at least it ought to. Let's begin by looking at that first portion, that first observation. That God's presence does not have spatial dimensions. You think about how we oftentimes think of things. We think of a lot of things, how humanity thinks of our being in spatial dimensions. You think about this when a child is born. What's one of some of the first information that when a mother delivers a child, what's some of the first information that people want to know, they want to discover? They first want to know, I would assume, they want to know the height. No, I'm sorry. They want to know the health and that mom and child are doing well. But then after that, all right, let it slip out. What do they want to know? The weight and the height. They want to know its dimensions. How big is the child? They want to know, is he this tall? Is she this small? They want to know some dimensions. Now, I'll be honest, I'm not always that curious about height and weight when it comes to a child. Sometimes those are information that I overlook. I probably actually pay more attention to professional athletes. How tall is he? How big is he? I want to know that my middle linebacker can give a bead. But we think about spatial terms with people all the time. But remember, God is not like us. We are created in the image of God, but God is significantly different than we are. We are, all of us, every single one of you, is contained to a space. I take up this space right here and no more. Maybe as I get older, I'll take up a little bit more space or a little bit less space. I probably am not going to go any more space this way, even though I'd love to. But 39 years old, I probably have hit my growth spurt has come to an end. But we take up this space and no more. But God, on the other hand, his whole being is present in every space or at every point in space. It's also necessary to say that God cannot be contained by any space, no matter how large the space is. This passage that points to this truth is found in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 27. This is what King Solomon has to say. He's talking to the Lord. He says, "But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, heaven and the highest of heaven cannot contain you. How much less than this house that I have built?" And what Solomon has done at this portion of the Old Testament, he has built a house for the Lord. He has built a temple at the Lord's command. But Solomon, as he's thinking this through, he's realized that God is not some local deity who's contained to a particular location. God may manifest himself, or God may show himself in different places at different times. But as we can see here in our text, the heaven and the highest of heaven cannot contain God. Indeed, he cannot be contained by the largest space imaginable. And this leaves Solomon just wondering in amazement that God would appoint him to build a temple upon the earth. And God is not contained by the limitless bounds of heavens, let alone a temple. God's essence is infinite. God's not restricted by the limits of this world, for he goes well beyond that. You think for a moment just even on the size of the universe and how big it is. All in all, our most modern telescopes have determined that within the universe there's 100 billion galaxies. And what experts are saying that as technology advances, that there's more than likely that number is going to continue to increase to 200 billion galaxies. We'll be able to see and be able to see and be able to see further and further and further. But the amazing reality of our God is that as we pursue technological advancement to discover what's out there, God is already there. In fact, Psalm 147 declares that he determines the number of the stars. He gives to all of them their names. God put each one in place. God could tell you in an instant, not just he wouldn't have to go discover it. He knows what's at the end. He knows the ends. He knows what's out there. He knows everything, for he is there. For God does have the power to make all the stars and all the galaxies, and he has the capability with his essence to be present in all places. Let me show you another passage of scripture. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 1 says, "Thus saith the Lord, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. What is the house that you would build for me? And what is the place of my rest?" In this passage of scripture, we're talking about another temple once again, but the Israelites, they're seeking. They're seeking to build a temple for the Lord. For they have a desire to have a material emblem of the presence of God in their midst. What the Lord stresses here is the reality that he's bigger than the temple. He is essentially in every part of the world. He is in heaven, but he's also on earth all at the same time. Like, he gives us a picture to think through. Like, where would you say that you are when you're sitting in your living room with your feet propped up on a stool? Where are you? Are you on the stool or are you in your chair? You contain both places. You're in both places at once. And God simply describes himself in the form of humanity as if he had his head in heaven and had his feet on earth. And in that picture, he fills everything in between. But I want to caution you too, as thinking this through, as we give a picture so that we can describe it or to understand it to a degree, we need to remember that when we're talking about the reality of God, that he is everywhere, we're not talking in spatial terms or dimensions. We should guard against the thinking that God is just big and extends infinitely far in all directions so that he exists in some sort of infinite, unending space. We should avoid thinking of God in terms of size or spatial dimensions altogether. God is a being who exists without size or dimension in space, but is simply infinitely everywhere at all times. You think about some of the practical implications and the practical things that flow out of this idea, not really this idea, this truth, I should say. This truth ought to curb our thinking that we have to go to some place to meet with God. Now, do we go to a place to meet with each other? Absolutely. It is important that we come together as a body of believers, whether it's here in a cafeteria or whether it's in the basement of your home or whether it's wherever our building may be. It's important for us to gather together to meet with God. But we don't need to journey to some place to meet with God. There's not some special place of worship that gives people special access to God. He is not more here than he is there. Therefore, we don't have to travel to Mecca. We don't have to travel to Jerusalem. We don't have to travel to some other special place to worship. And we don't need to create some place of worship where God will show up. For God cannot be contained to a place. So wherever you go, he is there. And you may ask, well, what about all the times in the Bible where we see God showing up in particular places? And I tell you to answer that question, I would tell you that the gospel changes everything. In the Old Testament, you'll see God showing up in the burning bush, or more particularly, you'll see God showing up in the Holy of Holies, a special place where God would meet with certain individuals, where God's presence appeared. However, at the death of Christ, what happened? The veil was torn in two, giving us complete access to our holy God through the sacrifice of his Son, Jesus Christ. God used to manifest himself differently, but the gospel redefines his presence, but more particularly his access, where we have access to him here, there, and everywhere in between. This ought to also encourage us greatly that no matter where we are, the fact that no place can be said to contain God and that God fills every place, we can be confident that God is always with us. I may not always feel like he is, but he is. He is here. And this brings us to our next observation of our outline, is that God's presence is everywhere. God is not defined by spatial terms and dimensions, but God is everywhere. And this is where I want to direct your attention to Psalm 139. Passage that we read earlier in our service. I want to read verses 7 through 10. And we could really spend a good portion talking about this entire chapter, but I just want to focus in on a few verses here in Psalm 139, which highlights the omnipresence of God. So we're going to look at verses 7 through 12. I want to read that out loud for us once again. Psalm 139, verses 7 through 12. This is what it says. It says, "Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light about me by night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you." King David, he writes this psalm, and this is really one of the reasons I love David. For we read earlier in Psalm 42, I had that on the screen when we first begin out, and he's crying out, "God, where are you?" And we have that mentality from time to time. We go, "God, I don't know where you're at. I feel all alone." But what does David say here? He goes, "Everywhere I turn, there you are." He's just like us. He's basically saying there's nowhere I can escape from your pleasant presence. There's no place in the entire universe I may go where you're not there already. I can go to the heavens. I can go to the sea. I can go to heaven. I can go to hell. I can go everywhere in between. And God, you are always present. For you, oh God, fill all places with your magnificent presence. Now, as he says this, he's asking a bunch of questions, but I don't think that David is saying that he wants to escape from the presence of God. But if he were, if that's what he was seeking, if he was seeking to escape from the presence of God, he would be unsuccessful. To seek to run from God, to seek to run from God's presence in any way, in every direction, is trying to like fly to the center of a storm to escape the wind. We're trying to fly, we're trying to fly to the center of a fire to escape the heat. It's not possible. We should also take notice that there is no indication that only part of God is there. That only we should take notice that David is not saying that only a part of God is one place and part of him is another. It is God himself who is present, wholly present, fully present, wherever David might go. We cannot say that some of God, like his authority or his grace or his mercy or his wrath, is in one place and it's not in another place. God is fully present in all places. For to think that he's only partially in one place would be to think of him in spatial terms, as if he was limited somehow by space. But you got to understand, and you have to see that God is present everywhere in the totality of his being and not merely operating things from a distance. This is to say that he is essentially omnipresent. Some falsely argue that God is present in all places only by influence or power, acting upon the world from a distance, but not himself wholly present throughout it. But that is not the case. As Herman Bavinck explains, God is not present in creation as a king in his realm or a captain aboard his ship. He does not act upon the world from a distance, but with his whole being, he is present powerfully here and everywhere with respect to his essence and his power. God is an awesome God. He is fully present in every place on the earth, every place in the universe. Everywhere, God is fully present. And this has some practical implications for our own lives that we would do well to pay attention to. And that's why I want to talk about our third observation, that God's presence impacts how we live. Now, when I say that God's presence impacts how we live, I'm talking about how we ought to respond, knowing that God is present everywhere. Knowing that God is with me each and every moment of my day ought to greatly influence my behavior. And I can see it changing in a couple of different ways. Now, you may think of this, you may think of a couple of more, you may think of one or more, or two more, or three more. I can think of two. How the omnipresence of God changes my life, and it ought to change ours, all of ours. And the first way that it changes our lives, it impacts our lives, is that it suppresses our desire to sin. Have you ever walked into a room where a group of younger children are playing and they're doing something they're not supposed to be doing? If you're a parent or if you hang around young children, more than likely you have done that. It's where they walk into the room, you know that they're doing something they're not supposed to be doing, and what do they instantly do? They walk, they put their hands down, and they try to act like everything's fine, everything's good, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Mommy or dad, you want to just give me a hug because I am obeying you as I ought to. And it's not just children, it's also adults. Observe a group of people who are at work, standing around, shooting the breeze, hanging out, getting paid to do absolutely nothing. And then what happens when the boss walks in? Sweeping a broom. I'm working, boss. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. You see, the presence of authority changes the entire situation. Let me say that again. The presence of authority changes the situation. We must never forget or discount the fact that God is always present. And forgetting or not acknowledging the presence of God, who is the greatest authority, it's led to a number of problems all across the world. So many sinful choices can be traced back to the forgetfulness or the lack of acknowledgement of this attribute of God. Let me give you one example. Do you remember Adam in the garden? Adam in the garden, he was given a command by God. God was so gracious to him. God was so good to him. And God said, you can have everything. Everything here before you, it's yours. I'm going to give it to you for my glory. But one thing I ask of you, don't eat of this tree. But he did. He did. And then we see in Genesis chapter 3, him trying to hide. Genesis chapter 3, verse 10 says, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and hid myself. You see, his ears understood the voice of God, but his mind failed to come to the conclusion that the presence of God had never left. He thought he could hide himself among the trees and keep from being found from him whose eyes are present in the most microscopic of places on the earth. Adam thought he could hide himself from the presence of God's justice and God's knowledge, but that's not the case. God had never left. God's manifestation, God's showing himself, he might not have shown himself in that moment, but God was always there. And the sad reality is not just for him, but for many of us included, we will commit sin in the presence of God that we would be too afraid of or too ashamed of to do from anyone around us. But how foolish it is to imagine any hiding place from the incomprehensible God who fills and contains all things and is present at every point in the world. When we shut the door, when we try to hide, when we attempt to commit sin in the darkness where nobody else is watching, understand this. There is no place that you can go to hide yourself from the presence of God. And it's not just in the outer world, but it's also in the inner chambers of your heart. Nothing is hid from God. Let me read from Stephen Charnock, who's a Puritan who lived in the 1600s. He says, hypocrites can disguise their sentiments from him. He is in the most secret nooks of your heart. No thought is hid, no lust is secret, but the eye of God beholds this and that and the other. He is present with your heart. When you imagine, with our hands, when we act, we may exclude the sun from peeping into our solitudes, but not the eyes of God from beholding our actions. And I love that mentality, I love that picture that he puts in my mind. I mean, I close the curtains in my house to hide the sun, to block out the sun, but there is nothing to block out God. God is always there. God is always present. And Charles Spurgeon agrees and reminds us that this truth makes it dreadful work to sin. For we offend the Almighty to his face and commit acts of treason at the very foot of his throne. Go from him or flee from him, we cannot. Neither by patient travel nor by hasty flight can we withdraw from the all-surrounding deity. His mind is in our mind, himself within ourselves. His spirit is over our spirit. Our presence is ever in his presence. I pray that you would see this and you would understand this and that this would suppress your desire to sin, understanding that you are always in the presence of God. But that's not all. For this attribute of God ought to also comfort us. It's not just something that we should be scared of. I mean, there should be a fear that we walk before God, but also there's a comfort in God's presence. It should be great encouragement to the righteous. And so secondly, the omnipresence of God, it calms our troubled hearts. That God is present everywhere is as much a comfort to the godly individual as it is a terror to the wicked one. Because no matter what the trial, no matter what the difficulty, no matter the place of its occurrence, no matter the quickness with which it attacks us, no matter the depths of our difficult power that comes upon us, God is ever with us. His loving protection always covers us. That's why David is able to proclaim in Psalm 23, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And why is that? Why is David able to proclaim that in Psalm 23? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because God is with me. your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Listen to Sharnak once again. He says, good men may be banished from their country, but never from the presence of their protector. You cannot say of any corner of the earth or any dungeon in prison, God is not here. If you are cast out of your country 1,000 miles off, you are not out of God's precinct. His arms is there to cherish the good as well as drag out the wicked. It is the same God, the same presence in every country, as well as the same sun, moon, and stars. Do not take your eyes off from the presence of our Lord, for he is always there. And you see the Lord reminding people of that throughout Scripture. You may remember in the Old Testament, a guy by the name of Joshua. Joshua, at one point in time, he was on the verge of leading the Israelites into the Promised Land. Israelites, they had been freed from slavery. They have wandered in the wilderness. And Joshua is tasked with the responsibility of conquering the people of Canaan so that the people of Israel may take possession of the land. Moses had recently passed the torch on to Joshua, and Joshua has a lot on his shoulders. Thousands, hundreds of thousands of people are looking to him. He's got the pressure of leadership. He's got the need to be victorious in battle. He's got the history of his nation ahead of him. And so what does God say to him in this pivotal moment of his life? He says in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, he says, verse 9, he says, Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed. Why? For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. We see this principle reply, you know, we see this a principle applied throughout Scripture again and again and again. God is with you. Don't be afraid. God is with you. Go forward with confidence. God is with you. No matter if it's difficult or if it's easy, God is with you. You find throughout Scripture God repeatedly telling his children throughout Scripture, do not be afraid. I'm here with you. Nothing can separate you from his love. You can go to the highest of mountains. You can go to the deepest of valleys. You can go to heaven. You can go everywhere in between. God is there. And Scripture tells us that we can go even further than that. He tells us in Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39, it says, for I'm sure that neither death nor life, nor angels or rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So Christian brother and sister, take confidence in the reality that the God that we serve is an ever-present God, and you are never out of his reach. Allow me to quote Sharnak one more time. He says, this would make us spiritual, raised and watchful in all our passions if we considered that God is present with us in our shops, in our chambers, in our walks, and in our meetings. As present with us as with angels in heaven. I love that line there. As present with us as with the angels of heaven, who though they have the presence of glory above, yet have not a greater measure of his essential presence than we have. What an incredible reality. God is with us always. I want to close by just pointing to one more passage of Scripture. If you have your Bibles with you at Psalm 139, I just want to look at the closing verses of Psalm 139. Because the reality is I don't want to just come here this morning and I don't want you to just go, well, this was good, check it off my list, and I'm on my way. I want to live for the glory of God. And I want to live in intimate fellowship of this great God. I believe that was the intention, the cry of David's heart as he closes Psalm 139 by saying, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Like a doctor goes into surgery to precisely cut out what's not needed to be there, what should not be there. That's what we want from God. In our own heart, in our own lives. God, search me. You are ever present in every single location. You are present and you know the depths of my own heart. So I encourage you this week that this would be your prayer. God, search me. You know me all the way through. You are present all the way through. And God, we want to trust you. I pray that we would be a people that acknowledge and that cling to his presence. And that we would simply be in awe. Realizing that he's a God that is worthy of our worship, that he's a God that's worthy of our praise. Because we want to be a people, as it closes out here, we want to be led in the way everlasting. God, please lead us there. Lead us to yourself, understanding that you are present in all places at all times. May we do all that we do for his glory. Let's pray. God, we thank you. Or really, we praise you for being who you are. God, there are so many times in life, there's too often times in our lives where we feel like we are alone. But may we be a people that are not led by our feelings. In those moments, may you lead us to the truth. That there is no place that we can go away from your presence. For you are in all places at all times. What a powerful God that we serve. It is in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray this morning. Amen.